Hey there, my name is Kathy, and welcome to my podcast, That Chronic Thing. I'm here to share my experiences living with chronic illness, including ME/CFS and MS, and offer support and advice for dealing with similar struggles. This show is a resource for anyone looking for support, advice, and a sense of community as they navigate life with chronic illness. I know firsthand how hard it can be to adapt to a new way of life, managing symptoms, finding a new rhythm, and doing this all while you're going to a gazillion doctor's visits. But through my own struggles, I've learned to find joy and laughter along the way, and I really hope you can do the same. So join me and other chronic illness warriors as we tackle the ups and downs of living with chronic illness together. Hey everyone, this is Kathy. I am so glad that you're here today. In that intro, you just heard that this podcast is for those with chronic illness. However, I want you to know that everyone is welcome here. I think everyone can learn from this podcast, and I am so happy to have you here. Hello, everyone. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, whatever time it is. Today, I would like to talk about grief and sadness because I have to be honest with you. I've been very sad lately. I've been sharing my sadness on Instagram. At first, I wasn't because I didn't want to dump my sadness on others. But I have found as I share, others have been incredibly receptive and supportive. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what is happening with my health. I'm going to tell you about why this is different than before. And also, I'm going to give you my normal disclaimer right now that I'm chronically ill and I'm just recording this from my couch. And that's why you're hearing crows outside and my dog tippy-tapping and maybe meows in the background throughout this wonderful podcast. As the podcast proceeds, I'm going to tell you about some resources that I found to make myself feel more supported. And then I am going to close this podcast with a quote that has made me feel like there may be some light at the end of the tunnel. Hate that metaphor, but the quote, I promise, is better than that. I've had relentless, intolerable pain for 2 months. 2 months ago, I got an infusion for my MS, a medicine called Ocrevus, which, from what I understand, is a wonder drug. It is supposed to stop new lesions from forming in my brain. And that is important when you have MS. But since that time, my body has been on strike, revolting, whatever metaphor you want. But what it comes down to is I'm in pain every day, horrible pain. And my fatigue is doubled from its normal baseline. And I'm sweating or I'm freezing. And it's just, it is really bad. And I'm so sad about it. I mean, what am I supposed to do? I've been emailing my doctors. I've been calling. I've been complaining. I feel like a nag. And they did put me on a course of steroids, which as of this point have not yet helped, but they've asked that I give it some time. So I'm thinking about this sadness and I'm kind of scared to share it because I don't want to pass my sadness on to others. I don't want to make anyone depressed. But it has also occurred to me that by sharing my story and simply sharing the fact that I'm sad, it may make someone, it may make you feel less alone. And so that's why I'm doing it. That's why I'm sharing what's going on with me right now. This grief is new and different than other grief I've had with my chronic illness. I became sick in 2019 and went through many stages of grief. The initial grief of being ill, of losing my job. Well, to be fair, I didn't lose my job. I went on a leave of absence. But when you've built a career and you suddenly have to go on leave, it feels like losing your job. To losing all my coworkers, those friendships, those connections, that was devastating. I really thought that I'd be able to maintain some of those connections, but people don't reach out as much as you expect them to. I have to give them some leniency and think, well, maybe they didn't know what to say. Maybe they didn't know what to do. It still hurt. And then there was the loss of my mobility. That grief was immense. It was horrible. It's been a long 3 years of chronic illness. Yet this flare, this grief, feels different. It feels more severe, more permanent. I think before, I always had some hope that I may have room in my life for some of the things that I wanted. And right now, I'm struggling to keep that hope afloat. I'm no longer picturing a partner. I'm starting to wonder if I need to move in with my parents because I can't take care of myself. I need someone to go refill my water bottle, to heat up my heating pad. Someone to go grab my medicine because I can't get off the couch. These are pretty big things to think about. I even had a dream where I was at my childhood home packing up things, and we were talking about which house does this go to, my current home or my parents' current home. It's like I can't even escape my reality and my dreams, which is supposed to be a sacred space. I've been reading Sheryl Sandberg and Adam Grant's book, Option B. It has been extremely comforting, a book that I wish I'd picked up 3 years ago. Chapter 2 is called Kicking the Elephant Out of the Room. And as you may guess, it is about talking to others about your grief. In Sheryl Sandberg's case, her grief is about her husband passing away. Very different from my grief, which is about my illness. Ironically, she does come to terms with talking to others about her grief because she talks to a friend who has multiple sclerosis, just like me. She realizes that avoiding feelings isn't the same as protecting feelings. Quote, "When someone shows up with the cast, we immediately inquire, what happened? If your ankle gets shattered, people ask to hear the story. If your life gets shattered, they don't." End quote. I mentioned this in my first podcast. It's something that I learned very early on. As my depression has gotten more severe, I found it more difficult to talk to people about my illness. My friends were recently in a group text with me, and I just didn't know how to participate. How do I tell them I'm miserable? In this chapter, Sheryl writes about Holocaust survivors coming to the United States and how they immediately found each other and created communities. How those who have suffered usually talk to those who have suffered similar losses. If you are on Instagram in my community, that may sound familiar. We still need to talk to everyone else in our lives, though. We can't shut them out. And we don't want to shut them out. We want to talk to our family and friends. But how do we address that elephant in the room? It's so difficult. Quote, "I finally figured out that since the elephant was following me around, I could take the first step in acknowledging its existence." End quote. Sheryl posted on Facebook a very raw post talking about what was going on in her life, how she felt about her grief. And she found
that not only her friends and family responding to her, since she was a public figure at that time, she had already written Lean In, the entire world was responding to her, people she didn't know. And then in her comments, people she didn't know, when they were writing, their friends and family were responding to them in her comments. It became a forum. Once she opened that door, it was like the floodgates opened. I think that is such a beautiful story. Opening that door is so difficult. It is so hard putting yourself out there. I had a similar experience last May. Last May, I had a party for something called Blue Sunday. I think that's what it was called. There is a lovely girl in England who hosts an annual benefit for MECFS. And it's a fundraiser that you can have as a tea party. I ended up having it as a very small event in my backyard that I could not have put on without my parents' help. I decided to create a post that I put on my Instagram, where I post every day, but I decided to cross-post it on my Facebook, where I never post. And because it went on my Facebook, where I have friends going back to, I don't know, college, because I was of that year or of that generation where Facebook was only for college students, I have 20 years of friends on Facebook. So people from all over my life saw this post where I was incredibly informative about what was going on in my life, but also about MECFS, or myalgic encephalomyelitis, chronic fatigue syndrome. And I got so many lovely supportive comments and also donations towards Open Med Foundation, which is a wonderful organization for you to check out, by the way. When I opened myself up, which was nerve-wracking and difficult, I got so much support. Another thing in this chapter that I somehow saw years ago, even though I didn't read this book, was to qualify the question, how are you, with how are you today? Cheryl writes, how are you today became a shorthand way to express empathy. If you think about it, how are you is so open-ended. It's so ominous. It's so scary. But when you say, how are you today, it is so much easier to answer. It really indicates that someone knows you're going through something. How are you today? It makes it easier to answer. It's just talking about a small time period, and that person recognizes that you may be going through something and they're only asking about today, not even yesterday, or how do you think you'll be tomorrow? So when you're telling people that you want to talk to them, when you're making that post, whether it's on Facebook or whether you're writing a letter or you're sitting down and having a heart-to-heart with someone, say, ask me, how are you today, is so much easier to consume. And it indicates empathy. I'd like to wrap up with giving you a little bit of a poem by Andrea Gibson, my favorite poet. This can be found in her book, You Better Be Lightning, and the name of the poem is Instead of Depression. I don't think it's legal for me to give you the whole poem, so I'm going to just give you an excerpt. Try calling it hibernation. Imagine the darkness is a cave in which you will be nurtured by doing absolutely nothing. When I read that, I tried to think of my depression as hibernation, and suddenly it didn't feel so endless. It felt like I was nurturing myself. I hope you can find a metaphor that works for you. I hope this podcast has been nurturing to you and has been comforting to you. And if you're not in a state of depression, I am so happy for you and I'm jealous of you. Hopefully this podcast has been comforting to you nevertheless. Thank you so much for listening and hanging out with me today. If you'd like, you can reach me on Instagram at thatchronicthing for questions, comments, fan mail, love letters, and all that jazz. Until next time, take care.